Tigers are on fire, but is it too late? 62 games to go. The mathematics, it's daunting. Reese Olson's injury, problematic. Flaherty, got to trade him, right? And then the Scooble thing just isn't going away because the reports keep coming out. And with every step, it's ratcheting up. Today, Bob Nightingale, you think he's an idiot? Your prerogative. You think he's clued in? Your prerogative. Tigers are in talks with the Orioles and Dodgers. That's way different than teams might want to offer or teams want player or Tigers might be will. The Tigers are listening. The Tigers are in talks. Now, the backdrop is they will need to be overwhelmed to trade him, which absolutely should be the case. But my question to you is, does the winning affect your viewpoint on this? Do you change your opinion? Here's the other note, and it kind of went under the radar, but Scooble was asked this weekend about the trade rumors. And once again, it was, I have no control over it, so I don't care. You know what he didn't say? And it's not, I'm not coming at the kid. I'm not mad at Scooble. I'm saying I'm neutral on it because you know what he didn't say? I don't want to be traded. I love it here. I want to wear the hat my entire career. He didn't say that. When Rieger and Stoney asked him about a contract extension, did he say I'd love to? I'd love to be here. I love this. This team believed in me. He didn't say anything like that. Now, that doesn't mean he's a bad guy. And it is an awkward question for a player to handle. And not every player is really media savvy. So I'm not judging Scooble either way. I'm saying, if you want to keep him, you have to have a conversation about, are you amenable to an extension right now? We want to sign you. Because if Scooble or Boras aren't giving you indications they're going to sign an extension, it does alter my opinion. If you want to keep Scooble, I'm not making fun of you either. Because I understand. You could have a rotation of Scooble, Olson, Job, Montero, Mize. Whatever, that's fine. Totally get it. But the issue becomes, and this is where the Bowden report comes into play. We got a new report today. Former MLB general manager and writer for The Athletic, contributor. I'll paraphrase, but Jim Bowden is saying not only should the Tigers trade Tarek Skubal, he's saying they have to do it. And his synopsis of all this is they simply don't have enough talent here and they don't have enough talent in the minors. Not that's going to be ready anytime soon. And that the old way of rebuilding is gone. That if you have this type of asset, you can change your entire franchise with a move. That's Jim Bowden. That's not me. Save your slander. I just want to know where you're at with everything Tigers today. Buy, hold, or sell. Do you want to hang on to Flaherty? I'm not interested in the compensatory pick. I'm not interested in taking another player that will be 3, 4, 5 years out if he ever gets here. If you want to re-sign Jack Flaherty, that's fine. If you don't want to trade him because, well, what am I trading him for? Probably a high A lottery ticket. But with Olson getting hurt and Flaherty probably getting dealt, how am I supposed to buy into this? That's before we get to the fact they still start Javi Baez every day and he's the single worst player in the sport. So everything Tigers is there. 248-539-9797. Let's go to the people. Go to Matt, 97.1. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm great. What can I do for you?
Yeah, so I just wanted to chat with you about how historic this haul from Baltimore could be. And Scooble alone in a normal market should command a really strong return. But this year specifically, there's no comp to a trade situation like this. There's not Juan Soto to the Padres or Sale to the Red Sox. The Orioles are in such a unique situation, mm-hmm. which is why these scenarios should be considered. Like, not only are they considered World Series contenders, if not favorites, their biggest weakness is pitching. They're also going to lose Corbin Burnes at the end of the year. He's a UFA, and Scooble has 2 more years under team control.
Yes.
Also, their biggest competition is also in need of starting pitching, Red Sox, Yankees, and throw in the Dodgers. So that's just at the major league level. But But the Orioles have the best farm system in baseball by a landslide.
It's not close.
Top prospect in all of baseball is considered generational. Mayo and Bisalo are both scratching that level. And if they traded three of their top four or five guys, they would still have a top farm system.
See, you're nailing it, Matt. Matt, you're nailing it, and I love the way you're presenting it, because you have to look at the big picture. It is one of the rarest moments I can remember locally where a Detroit team has not only the perfect partner, but the motivations line up, the assets line up, the needs line up, and it's, Matt, I'm with you. I said this earlier in the show, Matt. If I'm in Baltimore doing radio today, I'm imploring the Orioles to give up whatever it takes to get Skubal, because I get three bites at the apple to win a World Series. What the hell are we even talking about anymore?
Exactly, exactly. And that top farm system and top prospect in all of baseball, they just so happen to be blocked at the major league level by superstars. So they can afford to give them up and still be in contention. So all of that combined, and Mike, I'm not one to take much to read into positions of need when talking about prospects. But when we're talking about the AAA level and we're talking about Jackson Holidays and Colby Mayos, I'm gonna go there. Yeah. We need a shortstop and we need a third baseman. They could pencil in as your starters opening day 2025. Well, you got Cole Keith, Jace Young, Holiday, Mayo, and if
the key.
Not ready or you don't get him, you got Dingler.
The key is you're also gonna be able to quit on the Jace Young third base project and put him at second.
Exactly.
And as much as Colt Keith is hitting, and he's been tremendous, he's god awful at second, he could go to first. Now you've cured four issues, because here's the other thing.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Yeah, and Matt, I have tried to be pretty even Steven about this. I mean, if other people want to get all bent out of shape about it, that's their prerogative. I get both sides, but I lean to your side, because here's the other problem. You have this Javi Baez issue, and we all agree Baez can't be here next year. There's just no way. So you're going to be paying a shortstop $25 million to not play here. What do you want to go out and do? Like, Willy Adames starts at short for the first place Brewers. You want to go pay him $25 million a year? And please don't quote me on that. I'm making a point. Like, you have to understand the top line economics on this. Of if I buy Baez out, I need a cheap fix in the meantime. Otherwise, the way Chris will look at it is, I'm paying $50 million a year for shortstop. It's never going to work. So I just, the Holiday thing makes so much sense. From an economic standpoint, from a positional value standpoint, and if the Orioles don't offer them, then there's nothing to talk about. Nothing. And I don't see a world where, not a fan blog, I don't see a world where Mike Elias, in pursuit of a World Series, thinks he's getting Skubal without giving up Holiday. Now, if he doesn't give up Holiday, then you're giving me everything else. You're giving me Bisalo, you're giving me Mayo, you're giving me Beavers, you're giving me McDermott. You are going to bleed out of your eyeballs. And even then, I'm not sure I do the deal, because, Mike, I need a shortstop. So, Mark, I'm with you, brother. I understand it totally. And I don't believe if you make that deal, you're bad next year. In fact, if you make that deal and backfill the rotation and buy a bat, I'd pick you to contend with Cleveland. That's how much I think of Holiday and Mayo. And that's how much I think they would help, along with a bat and along with Carpenter being healthy with a new lumbar. Yeah, guys, I think you can do it. Versus I keep Skubal, how am I fixing this lineup? Don't talk to me about 2026 or 7 or 8. Who's my shortstop? Who's my third baseman? Who's another outfielder? How do I do that? Now, if you tell me Chris is going to open the checkbook, you know, we didn't get the LED roof, but we're going to get $168 million payroll next year. We keep Skubal. Let's party.
We'll take that.
Kenny, I want that LED roof still. I can't let it go.
I know.
The LED roof is my architectural Wyatt Langford.
I'm not over it yet.
I want that LED roof. It's just never going to happen. It is my bright light, Wyatt Langford. God. Oh, well. 248-539-9797. Your phone call's next. Tigers engaged with talks with the Orioles and Dodgers. Backdrop is they're going to have to be overwhelmed, rightfully so, as it would pertain to Skubal. John Paul Morosi stoking the flames. Tigers have scouts at the AAA affiliate of the Orioles. And again, I think that the easy answer would be, well, they could be scouting for Flaherty too. The problem is the Orioles got Flaherty last year and he was terrible for them. Would they go back and get him again? That would just seem to be a little unlikely to me. David, Ticket Tech's coming in.
Yeah, Ticket Tech's coming in. It says, the fact that Skubal is starting tonight versus the Guardians tells me that the Tigers are nowhere near a trade deal with Skubal. If they were close, they would hold him out.
That's not true. You have 8 days to the deadline. You don't go sitting guys two starts ahead. It would be his next start that would be the one in question. You would absolutely start him tonight.
You want the team to see him one more time, at least.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, weirdest. And I talked to Cookies about it earlier because he's a degenerate. I don't bet baseball. I take the summer off. The Tigers are underdogs tonight with Skubal on the mound against Carlos Carrasco. Ew. You know what Carrasco's nickname is?
No.
Cookies.
The
Guardians are -125.
I don't understand that.
With Skubal on the mound?
I don't understand that.
Yikes.
Sell a nucleus of Holiday, McGonagall, Clark, maybe Mayo, maybe Basalo. Looks very promising in a couple years, especially up the middle, Brad and Phoenix.
Again, Brad, I'm not going to be the one to yell at you for the take. I don't think it's a death sentence to move him. I mean, I'm sensitive to it because of how Fulmer went, and certainly lesser pitchers like Smiley or Boyd. And I also think the Angels are a bit of a cautionary tale. They didn't want to move Trout. They didn't want to move Otani. And they're going to end up getting nothing for either. Well, they got nothing for Otani, and they're going to get nothing for Trout. They're terrible, and their future looks worse. Now, I'm just making a point to you. I'm happy to keep Skubal, but there has to be an extension. And do you want to go that route? If I rep Skubal, I'd want 40 a year. And if you want to go shorter term, great. We can, but you're still going to pay my client the better part of $200 million over 5 years.
Correct.
Because Gerrit Cole got 36. Why am I not worth 40? Plus, I'm a lefty.
And it's Scott Harris's job to know what he has, to know if a deal can be made, and to know if it can't be made, so you can know what you have to do on your end. You cannot be like the trade deadline last year, and you have no idea what they want to do here, and you know we ended up with nothing for E-Rod.
And for the people, and I'm not mad at you, the winning's exciting, but the problem is here's the math, and math is unforgiving, and it's often very sobering. 62 games to go. We have to make an assumption. I won't go high side. High side, 90 is what you're going to need to get in. Let's say it's 88, just a free two games, 88 wins to make the playoffs. You will need in 62 games to go 39-23. Now, really, with a straight face, knowing Reese Olson's gone for at least two turns through the rotation, and I think a little longer, and knowing you're probably dealing Flaherty, do you really believe you're going 39-23? 38-24. Hell, 37-25. Do you really believe that? I'd be lying to my listeners if I said I did. That's not about hate or rooting against them or any other nonsense narrative. It's about reality. Right here, right now, do I think the Cleveland Guardians can go 39-23 over the last 62? Nope. The Dodgers? Nope. I mean, that is... There's one team in baseball I might say could go 39-23, and it's the team you want to trade Skubal to. So if that makes me a bad guy, then guilty as charged.
I think you owe Cookies a text message or a phone call. Tigers are favored, -136.
I just looked at it an hour ago.
So, yeah.
Okay, hey, I'm sorry, Jim. David, I promise you, I looked at it an hour ago. the Guardians were minus 125. Now, that makes much more sense with Scooble on the mound.
It does.
But what was Vegas doing?
I don't know. I don't know, because there's nothing in that lineup for the Tigers with Harvey batting, batting eighth tells you that that would switch it and flip it. I don't know.
Okay. Go ahead. Then I'll get to the phones.
Other teams will fall back. If we're within four games by the deadline, we should buy.
Buy what, though? Hold on. You can say buy. What are we buying? You need a name. You can't just say, "Bot." No. Who? Tell me who. And don't say Bo Bichette. He just hurt his calf for a third straight time. He may not play again this season.
Agreed.
So don't do that. Who? And what are you giving up for them? See, this is the problem with buying. Anyone with term and who's remotely impactful, you are going to be gutted. Because why? Exactly what you're trying to do to Baltimore. So, but you got to have a name if you're going to say it. I'm not mad at it. I respect it. But don't be, you know, Mortimer and Mortimer Duke here. Just buy what? Who? Let's go to Justin, 97.1. Justin, how you doing, buddy? What's going on, bud?
Hey, good. How are you?
Excellent.
Hey, I just had a quick question. Do we think that Scooble really wants to be here? Like, I don't know. I mean, I think Rieger's asked him a couple questions. I think he's had every opportunity to say that he loves Detroit, but he's never said it.
Correct.
And I'm just thinking, like, hey, I don't want to be on, like, the, hey, sell, you know, sell no matter what. But, like, every indication I get, just, like, reading his, you know, body language and what he says, I don't think he's going to resign here, even if we offered him $100 million. So,
I don't know.
You got to get rid of him.
No, I mean, Justin, I'm being honest and open. I don't know. I mean, you're right. And this weekend, he was asked about trade rumors. He didn't talk about wanting to stay in Detroit. He basically said, it's out of my control, so I don't care. Like, I'm not judging the kid, but I also can't fight your argument with positivity. I don't know is my answer. And I know that. I'm sorry to say that. I apologize.
No, and if I was, it sucks to say as a Tigers fan, if I was him, I wouldn't want to be in Detroit. Like, we're starting Harvey Baez. Like, what positivity, like, in Detroit do we have? Like,
well, I think, first of all, you're in a neutral park, right, from park factor. You know, you're right in the middle, but I think certainly it limits a lot of power. And if you're a lefty pitcher and you're taking away lefty hitters to the pull field, it's a very good park to pitch in. You have Chris Fetter, who's outstanding. You know you're going to get elite coaching and elite support. And it's the only place you've known. And look, Justin, I mean, I'd be first to tell you, like, places like New York aren't for everybody. You know, you can live a wonderful life here and get 90% of what New York has to offer with 100% less problems. But you're right, Justin, yeah. I don't know. But I don't think it's something where I'd want to run from here either. Now, if it's been communicated to your agent that you're just never going to have a big payroll, that's a different conversation. I don't have any proof of that.
I just get the feeling that he's just not, like, looking for – maybe he could find this in St. Louis, too. And I'm not, like, you know, talking bad about Detroit, but I don't know. He just – for some reason, I just get a feeling that he's just been soured here. I don't know. But like you said – Chris Fetter is, like, amazing. I mean, he's, like, we have a lot of good reasons to be here, and it's the best pitcher's ballpark, I think. One of the top five. It's got to be one of the best.
Yeah, look, a lefty, I think, certainly. And, I mean, Justin, listen, if I repped him, I would have him answer the questions a little different, but I don't rep him. He might just be a kid who's introverted and wants to just focus on business, and his business is taking the ball every 5 days and destroying a lineup. I'm not going to judge him, but I also can't support it. I'm just in the middle with it. I would love to hear him say, no, I want to retire Tiger. I would love to bring a World Series to this town. Throw the extension there. But see, my decision on moving him has very little to do with Bob Nightingale or Bowden or Costa or Verducci or Morosi. It has everything to do with, Tarek, what's it going to take for you to sign right now? And if the answer is, I'm not going to do that, well, that's all I would need to trade him. But it's easy for me to say it. I'm on the radio. I don't have to report to my owner that I'm trading my best asset. Certainly easy. Whether Scoobles here or not, I win. It doesn't matter. What I would like in an ideal world would be for all of us to be happy and be on the same page and this team be dominant again. So I just, the fact that they're in talks and they're listening, 8 days to go, it's progress to me, because I want to know what Baltimore's really offering, but how far can you push them? Now, I'm not talking about paying for the soda in the pop machine. I'm talking about how far can we push them? And I'd love to see that offer in a report of like, Tigers said no to X, or Orioles said no to Y. Or God forbid they do the deal and I get that alert while I'm in Saratoga. Sometimes the news just keeps stoking something. This Scooble thing is not at the top of my list because, again, I'll say it. I think the odds of him actually getting traded are probably 10%. You know, and I've often said this, and I find it amazing. I have to explain this to adults. But when I say the Tigers don't have the spine to do it or don't have the balls to do it, it's very simple. You have a first-year GM, a second-year president of baseball ops who's 37 years old. You don't have hardened baseball dogs here. You know, you don't have a Dave Dombrowski here. If you're going to pull off trading your ace with more than 2 years of team control, as a 37-year-old first-time president of baseball ops and a first-year GM, that's rare to say the least. You're taking your entire professional career and putting it on the line. Like, I shouldn't have to explain that. But yet, for some, I do. So here's my point. CBS wrote a piece ranking every major league team in order of likelihood of landing Scooble. Okay, I mean, that's an absurd piece. Thank God they didn't write a capsule on each team. So I'll take you through the top five. The Padres come in at five. I don't think they have what it takes, just to be totally upfront. The Yankees are at four. I've given you my view on it. I mean, again, if I offer you Spencer Jones, Dominguez, Chase Hampton, and a shortstop, it's the best I can offer you. Hampton's a right-handed pitcher. You guys are magical with pitching. Maybe it'd be great. I don't know. Baltimore and Dodgers. Do you know who number one is? The Tigers. Now, I want to read this to you, and I think this is a bit of faulty logic by the writer because it really doesn't make any sense. So he goes, other front offices we've spoken to believe Scooble trade is unlikely. The Tigers believe they can compete before Scooble's team control runs out. Okay, I agree with that. But wait, I'm just going to use him for 2 years and then throw him away? They'd like to keep him at least into the winter and see where they stand headed into next season. Huh? What's going to change between now and winter? What, is Torque going to be fixed? Is Max Clark going to be here? Is Job going to pitch 200 innings? Like, what's going to change exactly? And remember, the only thing that changes between now and winter is Scooble's value goes down. And I think by a lot. Why? Three postseasons versus two. That's a big deal. So could the Tigers be posturing? Maybe. But we're inclined to think there's something to it. Remember, it's been a decade since the Tigers made the postseason. Trading the race with 2+ years of team control would all but ensure the playoff drought extends a few more years. Disagree. That's a nonsense statement. That statement is acting like you trade them and do nothing to backfill. I don't believe it. The Tigers' relatively new front office in place can't be blamed on them. We think they're going to wait on a trade until it's necessary. And we don't think they've reached that point yet. Wait, so let me get this straight. You want to wait until you're selling Scooble 30 cents on the dollar? See, my belief is your job is to do what's right by the organization, even if it's unpopular, even if it's painful. The idea that, well, we could trade Scooble, but we don't have to do it right. No, you don't have to do anything. But why on earth would my plan B be, well, if we're forced to, I'll trade him. When all leverage is gone and he turns into Corbin Burns the rental. I don't want that. If I'm not trading Scooble now, I'm signing him into infinity. Those are my options. I do not understand the middle ground. Not on this. Well, they want to wait until the winter to what? What are we talking about? If you're not dealing him now, you don't deal him. Period. Because by the end, if it doesn't work and you're bad and he's a rental or he's got, you know, you deal him at the winter meetings and he's an impending free agent, who cares? That's not even a trade. You're not getting anything anyone cares about. You're just not. So there's your article on CBS. You do what you want with it. Let's go to Nick, 97.1. Nick, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, Mike, I really wish you, I had something planned I was going to say, but I really wish you hadn't said that. Like, I really, that can't be real. So I'm just going to ignore that for right now.
Okay.
So it's absurd. But, you know, Mike, you know, we were talking about the Baltimore media. You would think, Mike, that they want this deal to happen. Let me tell you, I've been prodding them, and I can say without a shadow of a doubt, these people, they don't want to trade for him. They say they want to trade for him. They say they need to trade for him. Really, they don't. I mean, one example I think that epitomizes this situation is on a podcast led by what appears to be a Ryan Ripken, Cal Ripken Jr.'s son. They brought up trading for Tarik Skubal, and they asked a guy on their podcast by the name of Jim Duquette on the issue. Now, this man was president of baseball operations for the Mets for like 2 minutes from 2003 to 2004. You know, he has more in common with former interim GM Sheldon White than an actual GM or president. And in this podcast, I guess you can't find a lot of people, but, you know, what are you going to do? In this podcast, on a video on the YouTube channel with the title, Jim Duquette Explains What It Would Take to Trade for Tarik Skubal. And, Mike, if you could at some point during this show play this on the radio, I would really appreciate it because every Tigers fan needs to hear what I'm about to say. Not only did he basically tell everyone about the biggest you-know-what he got from watching Holiday, even though he hasn't done anything yet. Oh, he's going to be the next Chase Utley. Oh, he's got the magic golden thong the Yankees players wore back in 09 when they were in a slump. Not only did he say, I'm not trading him no matter what, but this doofus told his host that he didn't want to move Mayo either because, oh, well, he could still play a role in this organization in case Westbrook gets hurt. God, take me now. You have an opportunity to trade a top prospect who is blocked for a Cy Young caliber arm, but you want to use a top 25 prospect who is major league ready. I mean, forget about Holiday. You want to use a top 25 prospect who is ready to play right now as a depth player. And, oh, but he would earmark Basalo as the primary asset in the trade. Sick dude, a hitting catcher who can't receive the ball and is going to turn into a first baseman. We're totally not getting effed in that trade at all.
No,
I mean,
Nick.
Come on.
Nick, here's the thing. And this happens all the time. It happens here in Detroit. Nobody ever wants to give up anything to get.
If you want to make this deal happen, you got to sacrifice.
I know.
If you're really going for this, what does having Holiday and Mayo do for you? Nothing.
No, I listen, Nick, I'm with you. And again, I'm not. No disrespect. I mean, I you know, bird ball podcast or whatever it is, I don't care because I don't think Mike Elias thinks that way. There's no way Mike Elias with a straight face would carve out a package and the players you just talked about aren't involved. Otherwise, it is insulting. It's like the guy in your fantasy football league who wants you to give him Pat Mahomes and he gives you Justin Blackman, who's been suspended for a decade. Like, wait, what? No, it's nonsense. But again, you know, I bet you if you turn on Baltimore radio today, callers are going, no, just give them Connor Norby. Like, that's what fans do. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah, we wanted Amir Johnson for KG back in the day for the Pistons.
Exactly. Yeah, Rip Hamilton for Kevin Garnett. It's simple. You want a Cy Young caliber lefty, 2.5, 2 years of control, 3 postseasons. You're going to bleed out of your eyeballs. You're going to give me Holiday plus, plus, plus. And if you don't want that, God bless. I wish you good luck. When you're pitching Pete Kramer, you know, like, you do whatever you like, guys. Go enjoy the barbecue in right field because you're not winning the World Series. Now, if you want to get serious, you have my number. You can call me.
You lose to the Twins in the playoffs.
But David, that's the point. Is it's so hard to make the playoffs and win 100 games and, you know, be this legitimate team. And yes, there's a lot of luck in winning a World Series. But for them, Corbin Burnes is leaving in free agency. Grayson Rodriguez is the only guy they really have team control with. All right, if it's Burnes, G-Rod, and Skubal, I'd make them the World Series favorite. If that's not worth giving up the pieces you don't want to give up because you're afraid about a rainy day in 2025 or six, cool. You explain it to your owner, Rubenstein, and you explain it to your fans who you haven't done a damn thing since 1983. You explain it. I would look at it differently. I'm going for it if I'm Baltimore. And that's what I've got to say about that. Sometimes the news just keeps stoking something. This Skubal thing is not at the top of my list because, again, I'll say it. I think the odds of him actually getting traded are probably 10%. You know, and I've often said this, and I find it amazing. I have to explain this to adults. But when I say the Tigers don't have the spine to do it or don't have the balls to do it, it's very simple. You have a first-year GM, a second-year president of baseball ops who's 37 years old. You don't have hardened baseball dogs here. You know, you don't have a Dave Dombrowski here. If you're going to pull off trading your ace with more than 2 years of team control as a 37-year-old first-time president of baseball ops and a first-year GM, that's rare to say the least. You're taking your entire professional career and putting it on the line. Like, I shouldn't have to explain that. But yet, for some, I do. So here's my point. CBS wrote a piece ranking every major league team in order of likelihood of landing Skubal. Okay, I mean, that's an absurd piece. Thank God they didn't write a capsule on each team. So I'll take you through the top five. The Padres come in at five. I don't think they have what it takes, just to be totally upfront. The Yankees are at four. I've given you my view on it. I mean, again, if I offer you Spencer Jones, Dominguez, Chase Hampton, and a shortstop, it's the best I can offer you. Hampton's a right-handed pitcher. You guys are magical with pitching. Maybe it'd be great. I don't know. Baltimore and Dodgers. Do you know who number one is? The Tigers. Now, I want to read this to you, and I think this is a bit of faulty logic by the writer. Because it really doesn't make any sense. So he goes, other front offices we've spoken to believe Skubal trade is unlikely. The Tigers believe they can compete before Skubal's team control runs out. Okay, I agree with that. But wait, I'm just going to use him for 2 years and then throw him away? They'd like to keep him at least into the winter and see where they stand headed into next season. Huh? What's going to change between now and winter? What, is Torque going to be fixed? Is Max Clark going to be here? Is Job going to pitch 200 innings? Like, what's going to change exactly? And remember, the only thing that changes between now and winter is Skubal's value goes down. And I think by a lot. Why? Three postseasons versus two. That's a big deal. So, could the Tigers be posturing? Maybe. But we're inclined to think there's something to it. Remember, it's been a decade since the Tigers made the postseason. Trading their ace with 2+ years of team control would all but ensure the playoff drought extends a few more years. Disagree. That's a nonsense statement. That statement is acting like you trade them and do nothing to backfill. I don't believe it. The Tigers' relatively new front office in place can't be blamed on them. We think they're going to wait on a trade until it's necessary. And we don't think they've reached that point yet. Wait, so let me get this straight. You want to wait until you're selling Skubal 30 cents on the dollar? See, my belief is your job is to do what's right by the organization, even if it's unpopular, even if it's painful. The idea that, well, we could trade Skubal, but we don't have to do it right. No, you don't have to do anything. But why on earth would my plan B be, well, if we're forced to, I'll trade him. When all leverage is gone and he turns into Corbin Burns the rental. I don't want that. If I'm not trading Scooble now, I'm signing him into infinity. Those are my options. I do not understand the middle ground. Not on this. Well, they want to wait until the winter to what? What are we talking about? If you're not dealing him now, you don't deal him. Period. Because by the end, if it doesn't work and you're bad and he's a rental or he's got, you know, you deal him at the winter meetings and he's an impending free agent, who cares? That's not even a trade. You're not getting anything anyone cares about. You're just not. So there's your article on CBS. You do what you want with it. Let's go to Nick, 97.1. Nick, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, Mike, I really wish you, I had something planned I was going to say, but I really wish you hadn't said that. Like, I really, that can't be real. So I'm just going to ignore that for right now.
Okay.
So it's absurd. But, you know, Mike, we were talking about the Baltimore media. You would think, Mike, that they want this deal to happen. Let me tell you, I've been prodding them, and I can say without a shadow of a doubt, these people, they don't want to trade for him. They say they want to trade for him. They say they need to trade for him. Really, they don't. I mean, one example I think that epitomizes this situation is on a podcast led by what appears to be a Ryan Ripken, Cal Ripken Jr.'s son. They brought up trading for Tarik Skubal, and they asked a guy on their podcast by the name of Jim Duquette on the issue. Now, this man was president of baseball operations for the Mets for like 2 minutes from 2003 to 2004. You know, he has more in common with former interim GM Sheldon White than an actual GM or president. And in this podcast, I guess you can't find a lot of people, but, you know, what are you going to do? In this podcast, on a video on the YouTube channel with the title, Jim Duquette Explains What It Would Take to Trade for Tarik Skubal. And, Mike, if you could at some point during this show play this on the radio, I would really appreciate it because every Tigers fan needs to hear what I'm about to say. Not only did he basically tell everyone about the biggest you-know-what he got from watching Holiday, even though he hasn't done anything yet. Oh, he's going to be the next Chase Utley. Oh, he's got the magic golden thong the Yankees players wore back in 09 when they were in a slump. Not only did he say, I'm not trading him no matter what, but this doofus told his hosts that he didn't want to move Mayo either because, oh, well, he could still play a role in this organization in case Westbrook gets hurt. God take me now. You have an opportunity to trade a top prospect who is blocked for a Cy Young caliber arm, but you want to use a top 25 prospect who is major league ready. I mean, forget about Holiday. You want to use a top 25 prospect who is ready to play right now as a depth player. And, oh, but he would earmark Basalo as the primary asset in the trade. Sick, dude. A hitting catcher who can't receive the ball and is going to turn into a first baseman. We're totally not getting effed in that trade at all.
No,
I mean,
Nick.
Come on.
Nick, here's the thing. And this happens all the time. It happens here in Detroit. Nobody ever wants to give up anything to get.
If you want to make this deal happen, you've got to sacrifice.
I know.
If you're really going for this, what does having Holiday and Mayo do for you? Nothing.
No, I listen, Nick, I'm with you. And again, I'm not. No disrespect. I mean, I bird ball podcast or whatever it is. I don't care because I don't think Mike Elias thinks that way. There's no way Mike Elias with a straight face would carve out a package and the players you just talked about aren't involved. Otherwise, it is insulting. It's like the guy in your fantasy football league who wants you to give him Pat Mahomes and he gives you Justin Blackman, who's been suspended for a decade. Like, wait, what? No, it's nonsense. But again, you know, I bet you if you turn on Baltimore radio today, callers are going, no, just give them Connor Norby. Like, that's what fans do. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah, we wanted Amir Johnson for KG back in the day for the Pistons.
Exactly. Yeah, Rip Hamilton for Kevin Garnett. It's simple. You want a Cy Young caliber lefty, 2.5, 2 years of control, 3 postseasons. You're going to bleed out of your eyeballs. You're going to give me Holiday plus, plus, plus. And if you don't want that, God bless. I wish you good luck. When you're pitching Pete Kramer, you know, like, do whatever you like, guys. Go enjoy the barbecue in right field because you're not winning the World Series. Now, if you want to get serious, you have my number. You can call me.
You lose to the Twins in the playoffs.
But David, that's the point. Is it's so hard to make the playoffs and win 100 games and, you know, be this legitimate team. And yes, there's a lot of luck in winning a World Series. But for them, Corbin Burns is leaving in free agency. Grayson Rodriguez is the only guy they really have team control with. All right, if it's Burns, G-Rod, and Skubal, I'd make them the World Series favorite. If that's not worth giving up the pieces you don't want to give up because you're afraid about a rainy day in 2025 or six, cool. You explain it to your owner, Rubenstein, and you explain it to your fans who you haven't done a damn thing since 1983. You explain it. I would look at it differently. I'm going for it if I'm Baltimore. And that's what I've got to say about that.